That we take and set aside a day to honor those who have done so much for us. And probably nobody's ever done more for you in your life than your mother. Now, I'm not demeaning dads, and we'll brag on them to high heavens here in a month or so. And we'll get all the goody out of that holiday we can. But the truth is, mothers are the nurturers. And in a very real sense, they are the shapers. They spend a lot more time with us than dads. Dads work hard, and they contribute. They do their part. They do what they're supposed to. Thank God for it. But mama does more talking. Mama does more example setting. Mama does more showing than anybody. And large measure, you're going to be a reflection to some degree of mama. The Bible has a lot to say about mamas, and I've preached all of it over the years, and there's nothing left. And hey, y'all ain't laughing at nothing, are you? If you take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy, well, I'll tell you what, just don't take your Bible. I'll just read them to you because it takes too much time. The Bible said in Romans chapter 13 and verse 5, "Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear," and somebody ought to expound on that verse, that part of that verse sometime, "and last but not least, honor to whom honor." People say, well, you know, we don't want to honor men and all that. Well, you're supposed to under certain circumstances. I mean, you shouldn't grovel, but when somebody's done something commendable, exceptional, it's okay to honor them. Honor to whom honor. Well, Deuteronomy 5:16 said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged." Okay, he said, honor to whom honor. Well, one of the people you're supposed to honor is mother. That's one of the commandments. And it's, by the way, the New Testament says it's the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and your mother, God will extend your days. What does that mean? That means if you dishonor them, God will shorten them.
Amen.
Amen. Which now, then people that say you're born with a certain number of days and there's nothing you can do about it, I don't know how they're going to argue with that. Sorry. But anyway, now, in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible said, "And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down upon his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand." That's an Oriental king. You know how Orientals were about women. You know, women walk behind. You know, women are almost like servants in Oriental countries. And here's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the king of Israel at the pinnacle of its power and glory. The king, when his mother walked into the room, rose and bowed to his mother. And then, when he finally does sit down, he has a chair to be brought, and he places her on the right side. Now, our generation has lost sight of the fact that there are certain things that are just supposed to be a certain way. Right is good, left is bad. White is good, black is bad. Right? It's juniors to seniors. You don't wait for the adult to speak to the child. The child is supposed to initiate. The child speaks. That's the way things go. In the military, junior officers salute senior officers. Okay? There's just certain things that are supposed to be a certain way. And citizens bow to the king. But there are some places that supersede that. And when the king's mother came in, the king arose from his chair and bowed himself to his mother and caused her to be set on the right side. That's the place of honor. The honored guest goes on the left. The second most honored guest goes on the left. The most honored guest goes on the right. He has his mother on his right side, and she sits on the throne with him. You say, what has Solomon just done? Well, he's just obeyed two verses in the Bible. Honor to whom honor, and honor thy mother. Who did that? The greatest king Israel ever had. And the greatest king that Israel will ever have until Jesus Christ is king. I think it's pretty significant. Now, so today we are here to pay tribute to and to honor as best we can our mothers. My mother's deceased. Some of your mothers are deceased. But even though she has passed away and her soul is in heaven, her body is in a lowly grave down in the lower part of South Carolina, her memory lives on in me. I don't know about you. I see certain things, I hear certain things sometimes, and it brings it back with a sharpness and a clarity as though she were still here. It's as though she never left. My mother had a thing for cardinals, the big red male cardinals. She just loved them. The other day I got up and I was getting dressed. My wife, I was dressed. I was clothed. I was getting ready for work. And my wife had the curtain on the back deck open because we have bird feeders back there. And I just glanced out. And here's a great big, brilliantly red cardinal sitting there on one of those bird feeder things she's got all over the place. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, boy, my mom would give anything to see that bird. And you know how you get sometimes like that? You kind of get emotional, choke up, you know, and your eyes fill with water. And it only lasts a second, but boy, it brought it back with such realness and such clarity. And I thought, I miss you, Mom. It's been years and years and years, and I still miss her. Amen. And if she were here today, I would do all that I could to honor her for what she did in my life. Now, in an effort to do that, I want to read you some things, because some people have said some things that if they had waited a little while, I would have said it, but they didn't, and so the opportunity's passed me by. But some people sure have said some wonderful things about mothers. I'm going to read you a couple of testimonials that I've just... you know, you can find anything these days if you look. If you've got an internet, good night. You can find... Finding material is not hard. Finding good material sometimes is a little tougher. And I really tried to pick some things that illustrate truths and principles rather than just be flattering. Let me give you a testimony. A man once said, if the whole world were put into one scale and my mother in the other. You know, you've seen the scale. If you put the whole world in one and my mother in the other, the whole world would kick the beam. I love that. That's a pretty high estimation of Mom. There's a lady that must have made some kind of imprint on a man's life. That was Lord Langdale many years ago said that. But I thought, what a remarkable thing. He compared her against the whole world. She won. My mother is the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Man, that's pretty high praise. Now, who said that? George Washington, the first president of the United States, reflecting on his mother. Ladies, it's just almost impossible to tell how deep and how wide, how great, how significant the impact can be that you can make on your children if you insert yourself into their life in the proper way. If you're the kind of mother that loves and sees and cares and teaches and trains, you could inspire those children to be anything, to go anywhere and be a success. And when they're old, they'll look back and with thankful hearts, they'll say, I attribute it to my mother. It's amazing how many famous men down through time have attributed their success or their character or whatever it was that made them notable to their mother. My mother is probably the wisest person I've ever known. She is not schooled. She is not well-read. But she has a philosophy of life that makes well-read people look like morons. This is a guy who is schooled and who is well-read, and he found no place to improve upon the philosophy of life that his mother taught him. I said, my goodness. Now that must have been one wise woman. But it demonstrates that you don't have to be world-renowned for your intellect. You don't have to have been to all the best schools. You don't have to have read all the classics to have the right philosophy and to possess a wisdom to impart that to your children. That wisdom and that understanding is a gift from God. The ability to translate it to your children, to transfer it from one generation to the next, is a gift from God. It's something every mother ought to aspire to and labor to achieve. If you could pass on to your children a right philosophy about life, if you could pass on to them a wisdom about living that would keep them safe and sound and keep them in the love of God and keep them in the respect of humanity, what a thing that would be. If you could instill that in the hearts of those little toddlers. Victor Hugo once said, a mother's arms are made of tenderness, and children sleep comfortably in them. I thought, you know, that's a great little saying. Mother's arms are made of tenderness. Where in the world does every child run when they're tired, when they hurt, when they're afraid, when they feel lost or alone? The first thing they do is they run to the open arms of mother. And once they're there, they rest comfortably in them. There's a security and a peace and a stillness that you find in the arms of mother that you can't find anywhere else. Now, if the big bad guy breaks into the house or the house is on fire, we may hide behind daddy, a tower of strength and a pillar of defense. But when we want consolation, when we want comfort, we run to mama. I've run to my mama many a time when I was a boy, and a few times when I was a grown man. And nobody could ever comfort like mama. We got a couple of things here that just extraordinary insight into things. I like to look for things that, not just pretty words and sound. I like to find things that characterize traits, that things that are typical of humanity or typical of women or typical of men. And it says something about us. It has some depth to it. You find them in the strangest places. Some mothers are kissing mothers. Some mothers are scolding mothers. But it is love just the same. And most mothers kiss and scold together. That's pretty good. That's exactly the way mamas are. They're either hugging up on you or whacking you. They're fussing at you. Quit that. Stop that. Don't do that. Blah, blah. Or they're wrapping their arms around you. Or sometimes they're doing both, you know. If you've done something stupid or dangerous and they thought you was going to get killed, they're hugging you and crying and smooching all over you and fussing at you in the same breath. I thought, you know, that's a lot of insight. I hate it that it had to be Pearl S. Buck that said it. But it was good. I don't care who said it. I like this one. There's so much truth in this. A mother is one who dreams great dreams for you, but then lets you chase the dreams you have for yourself and loves you just the same. I thought, my goodness, have I not seen that with my wife and our children and the things we dreamed for them and what we wanted them to be and what we wanted them to accomplish? And we had all these great expectations. We had these wonderful dreams of what they were going to do with their lives. And of course, we forget that they had dreams of their own. And that at some point, they can't live your life and you can't live their life for them. And you have to relent and let them chase their own dreams. That's a tough time. That's a hard thing. We don't want to let them go. Because we always know that we know best for them. But even when we have to let them chase their own dream, which is not a dream that we had for them, we love them anyhow. And nobody's better at doing that than mom. Me and we get our feelings hurt, we'll sulk. Mom will put the child first. Moms are comforters. Moms give solace. Mom will swallow pride to hang on to that child. You'll never have a better friend, a greater defender than your mother. Listen, this is so good. I really picked some good stuff. When you're a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child. I thought about that for a few minutes when I read it. And I thought, you know, a real mother does that very thing. She thinks a thing, she thinks about a thing, and she thinks for herself at what would be good or how much fun it would be or how she could prosper or how much joy or pleasure she could get. She thinks about herself and then she thinks about her child. And what would this say to her or him? What kind of impression would this leave? What kind of a statement does this make? What would this lead them to do? If I do this, if I allow that, what will they read into it? How far will they take it? You ever hear people say, well, on second thought, that's usually a mother. Because the welfare of her children is the most important thing in her life. It's natural to think about ourselves, but there's something uncanny about the way mothers will stop and think about the children. I wish dads were as good at that as moms, but we're not. That's a characteristic of mother. Now this next little thing, I really like this one. I think I put this message together for myself. It reminds me of my mama. My mom was an incredible lady. She was not schooled. She was not well-read. But she was pretty smart. To be 5'2" tall, she was pretty remarkable. I read this thing the other day. It said, a mother is a person who's seeing that there are only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces that she never really did care for pie. I thought, no, that's a mama. That's somebody who's got a mother's heart. There's 5 people sitting around that table and there's 4 pieces of pie. And mom said, yeah, I don't like that pie anyway. I mean, years ago, we were at a Talley concert, and Deborah Talley was giving an illustration. And she used almost this exact illustration. She was talking about they were at the table, and there were 5 of them. And her mama had fixed a chocolate pie. And her favorite dessert in the whole wide world was chocolate pie. So she rushed through supper. If I remember right, there were 5 pieces of pie, and there were 5 of them. Everybody was going to get a slice. But Deborah rushed through dinner so she could get to her pie. And she got through, and she asked if she could have her slice. And her mother got up, and she brought it, and she gave it to her. And she ate it right away. Then everybody else finished their dinner, and Deborah's sitting there, her dinner's finished, and her pie's gone. And she's looking, and Mom gets the pie and gives to everybody. And she said, Mom glanced at me, and she could see something in my face. And she just said, here, Deborah, you eat this. I just think I'm too full. That's a mama. She saw the desire. She saw that look in that child's face. And whatever cost she had to pay to make that child happy and to satisfy that longing, they're willing to make. Now that little piece of pie is just but a simple illustration. Mothers do without new dresses. Mamas do without new shoes. They do without a lot of things. They don't go to lunch, so you can. It's amazing what mothers voluntarily and silently refrain from that their children might have them. And quite often we're totally unaware what mama did and how much she wanted it. But she wanted it more for you. That takes a special kind of heart. And that's deserving of a special kind of honor. From time to time, people who make those kind of sacrifices so selfishly, unselfishly, and who do those things so spontaneously deserve a little pat on the back. Honor to whom honor. I save this last one to the last because this is my absolute favorite. Making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide to have your heart forever walk around outside your body. How much more could you say than that? When you're a child, you're unaware. But after I became a man and I saw, I understand what that verse is talking about. I got 3 children. My wife has 3 children. And we love them. They're all grown. They've made their own way in life. They're not dependent on mom and dad anymore. But there's not a day goes by that my wife doesn't say something about all 3 of them. And when their lives are going good and things are going their way, she's as happy she's so glad this happened. She's so glad they got that. Oh, I think it's just a blessing that they got to do so and so. When they're blessed, when their life goes well, she rejoices. When they have a bad day, when they have a hard time, when things don't go their way, she's as down in the dumps as they are. When she sees them taking a course of action, taking a path in life that she feels is scary, that may lead to wrong things, that may not take them where they think they're going, she prays, she worries, she frets. Say, why? Because that's her heart. And when you've got those children, your heart forever walks around outside your body. You don't quit loving them. They don't quit tugging at your heart just because they turn 18, just because they graduate from college, just because they get married. I'm here to testify at almost 66 years of age, and my youngest child is 46. 41. Well, that's close. 41. Seems like a lot longer sometimes. That you never get them off your heart. Whether they're good or whether I go places, I talk to folks, and you'll hear them bragging about their children. Oh, my son's graduating from Clemson this year. I don't know what to brag about that for, but some people will. I mean, some people brag about anything. My daughter is so-and-so. She works, and they want you to know that they're an executive or they're making good money. Sometimes you talk to people, and my son's been such a disappointment. They just sentenced him to 3 to 5. And the heart's broken. And the person telling you the story does it with their head hung low. So whether the kid is good and whether they're successful, whether they bring you great pride or whether they bring you great shame, you can't get them out of your heart. One of these days, Jordan's going to marry some skinny, freckle-faced, red-headed little scumbag with a lot of money. And she move out of the house. You think you're going to quit thinking about her? And quit worrying about her? And hoping the best for her? Wanting to help her out? Do? Ain't never going to happen, pal. As far as I can tell, it's going to last to your dying day. Your heart's out there walking around and you watch it day by day. It is to decide forever to have your heart walk around outside your body. Those are some good thoughts, I think. They illustrate some great truths and principles. Now, I only have a little 3-point message. I'll talk to you about our mom. Our mom, personal. Now, I don't know anything about your mom. I know a little bit about yours. Sweet, sweet lady. I know yours because she's sitting right there. But for the most part, I don't know a great deal about your lives. I don't know what kind of mom you are. You might be McGilla Gorilla in disguise for all I know. Yeah. No, I don't think so, because your grandkids love you, and that says a lot about you.
Amen.
But you know, here's the point, is that you know your mother. Now, I understand you know her faults. Good night, we all know them. I mean, we get a handle on those right away. Amen. And we know that some of them are too pushy and too bossy and too manipulative and too controlling. I understand all that. And that's not the side I want to look at. I guarantee you, if you got a mama, there were some good things about her. And you have to take the good with the bad. bearing in mind that you yourself have some good and some bad. So I thought we'd just reflect for a few minutes this morning on our mother. I'm going to think about mine. You think about yours. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, what do I enjoy remembering about my mother? What is it that I can think about when it pops into my mind that either gives me a rush of emotion that brings tears to my eye or puts a smile on my face? See, this is the day to honor. So I don't want to point out any bad things. If you live and breathe, you got those. This is a day to celebrate the good stuff. And so I thought about my mom. Like, you'll have to think about yours. And here's some of the things I thought about. When I was little, of course, we were poor. My daddy knocked dents out of fenders for a living. Did the best he could. So a lot of times we didn't have a lot. But some weeks when my mother would go and buy groceries, she would get one of those bags of dried peaches. Anybody ever eat those things? And she would take them home and soak them and do whatever it is you got to do to them and cook them down. And then she would make dough for biscuits. And she would take those peaches and put in there and fold them over, and she would make fried peach pies. Now, our house did not keep cookies on the shelf. There was not a dish of candy in the living room. We didn't have any of that stuff. You couldn't come in and get a glass of milk and a cookie or whatever anytime. We didn't live that way. We didn't have that kind of money. So when Mom would squeeze out enough money to get those peaches and then spend the afternoon cooking them down or whatever it is and make those fried peach pies that we would have after our supper, son, we was excited as a kid at Christmas. And sit there and eat those fried pies. Mama would cook them and she'd fry them up and bring them and put them right on your plate. I mean, it's still hot. And my daddy liked to take and split them open and flip it back and put a couple of chunks of butter in there and close it. And so I learned to do that too, because that's what he liked. That's what I liked. And we would sit there and eat those things. And buddy, we was in high cotton. We was eating high on the hog, low on the chicken. I remember those times. You say, well, it don't sound like much. If you've got nothing, that sounds like a lot to me. Some of y'all just don't know what poor is. But I thought about, she did that because she was thinking about us. She spent her afternoon fixing it because she was thinking about us. And I didn't learn till years later, my mama didn't like fried peach pies. But she fixed them for us. That's just one of those little silly things, you know, that I remember about mama. My mama was 5'2" tall. She had blue eyes. But she had a temper about 7'7" when she'd get mad. Now, I never saw her mad much, but I've seen her angry a time or two. And the thing that made her the angriest was if somebody messed with her children. Now, we lived up in Shelby, North Carolina, and there was like a little wood lot or something down at the end of the street. We used to go down there and play hide and seek and stuff. And went down there one day and we ended up getting in a fight with one of the other kids. Imagine that, in the neighborhood. And the mother of this little boy, because he got beat up, because he was a wimp. And so in the real world out there, there's no place for wimps. Wimps get eaten. But his mother decided she'd come down and jump on us. And she was chewing us out, and she was threatening to spank us because we beat her little boy up. Well, somebody went home and told my mama. Now, you want to see something funny looking thing. Here's this little girl about 5 foot 2 inches tall, and this other boy's mama is a big old raw bone heifer. I mean, she's a big old girl. But she looked like a lineman. My mama come down there, and you could see the look in her eyes. It'd scare you to death. I mean, she ain't got to say a word. But she come down through there like she weighed 500 pounds and could whoop the whole place. I mean, she had that demeanor about her, like, you better get out of my way. And she heard that woman, and she hollered at her. She must have been 30, 40 feet away when she hollered at her. And that old woman looked around, and she saw the look on my mama and the way she was coming down through. That old woman started backing up. And, buddy, by the time my mama got up to where we were, that other woman was 30, 40 foot away, that away. I love that. Man, when she got mad, she was absolutely fearless. Don't mess with her family. I appreciate that. I think parents ought to be like that. Amen? Well, my mama, let me tell you what. What do you remember about your mama? You remember some of that funny stuff she did? She had funny sayings. My mama, she used to murder the King's English. I have a big long list of words that Southerners say funny, but half the list belongs to my mother, and the other half belongs to, well, a fourth of it belongs to her daddy, and the rest of it belongs to Henry and Geraldine Rose. My mama couldn't say column. She'd say, that big old building has got big old columns. And we used to tease her about it, you know, and she just couldn't get it out, columns. It was always columns. And I'd spell it for her. Of course, that may have been wrong. But I'd pronounce it, I could pronounce it right. But she, little silly, stuff like that sticks in your mind. If you thought for a minute, how many little trivial, incidental things could you call to mind about Mama today that would put a smile on your face or emotion in your heart? If we just stopped and thought about them for a little while. Now, my mom, God, I love her to death. My mom was absolutely tasteless. She's just like her mama, who was absolutely tasteless. My mama, honestly, I believe with all my heart, my mama could not tell the difference between a 15-cent plastic flower from the 5 and 10 than she could tell from the real thing. My mama would buy little plastic flowers and put them in little flower beds and back off and look at them and just tickle to death. They just looked so good. And it looked like some hillbilly lived there. I mean, it was just awful. But we learned not to say a word because she was just proud as punch. Y'all thinking about your mama? Well, the Bible says that the daughter is as the mother. But I'm trying to get you to think, to think back, to reflect. If your mother's gone, remember her. If she's still here, remember her. They all had those little things that made them special. The little things that they did that would embarrass you. Your mama ever had some of those things? Mine did. And every time she'd do it, I'd go, and you can't say nothing because it's mama. I mean, you just grin and bear it, boy. I'm trying to get you to think about your mama and the good things about your mama. To show her some honor and respect. She was an individual. She was a person. She had her own life and her own thoughts and her own will. But she set all that aside long enough to raise you and love you and care for you. And she ought not be forgotten. And then, point number two, we ought to reflect on the debt that we owe to Mama. Man, I think back on it, I owe her quite a lot. I owe her quite a lot. I don't think I could recount the sacrifices that she made so that we could be normal with our friends and our schoolmates. And what she did without, how she had to scrimp so that when the class went somewhere or did something, we could dress pretty much like they did and have as much spending money as they did. So we didn't look odd, so we didn't get laughed at. You ever been laughed at? Kids are cruel. They're cruel. Remember once I was in the first or second grade, and my mom had bought us new pants for school. But the little dungarees that we had elastic waistbands. It didn't have a belt. Well, that wasn't cool back then. And I can remember being laughed at and teased and taunted because of those elastic waistbands. Those were girls, bitches. I remember crying about it, being embarrassed about it. It hurt. And my mother figured out what was happening. And somehow she got the money together and went and bought me new school clothes so they wouldn't laugh at me. I don't know what she had to give up. I don't know what she had to do without. But I know she had to give up. And I know she had to do without. Because she didn't have it. But she wouldn't let me be laughed at. That's a mama. I owe her. There's not enough money on this planet to get me to say or do anything to demean the memory of my mama. And this day, she's been dead 15 years. If somebody said something bad about my mama, they'd have to whip my old butt. That lady worked and labored and did without and sacrificed to give me the best she possibly could. I owe her. And I'll bet if the truth were known, you owe one too. Lastly, but not least, let me close with this. If I can see it. There's the honor that we should give. The Bible said, honor to whom honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the king bowed himself unto his mother and sat down upon his throne. He caused the chair to be set for his mother, and she did sit at his right hand. Solomon did not have a better mother than I had. And if his mother is deserving of honor, mine more so. I thought, how do we show the honor that they deserve? Now, I'm all about fixing dinner for them. I like all that family stuff. Giving them cards. Bunch of roses, hug your neck and tell Mama I love you, writing something nice in their card, an expression of your love and gratitude for what they did. I'm all for that. And that shows honor, it does. And I thought, if I really wanted to honor my mother, what could I do that would bring her the most and the most lasting honor? And here's what I think. If I live a life that does not bring her dishonor, that does not bring shame nor reproach. If I live a life so that nobody can say, ain't that Edith Hensley born? I don't remember her being like that. I thought she raised him better than that. If I live a life that would cause people to say, she did a good job raising that boy. She must have been a good mama. What greater honor? Mom, you were a success. Haven't been perfect. You ought to be saying the same thing. I'm in church. I'm serving God. And there's no scandal attached to my name. And it's because of you, Mama. The greatest honor you can give your mama is to live a life that will bring honor to her. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I sure do thank you for the mama you gave me. Thank you for the mama that my wife is. What a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to reflect today on this special occasion. We'd think about those good things, those endearing things, those things of strength that developed character, made us to be what we are. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.